Praise God. Praise God. I am unashamed. It's a good song to start into my sermon. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. We thank you for who you are, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that you are the God of all things and that you, Lord God, hear us, Lord God, and you love us. And that you help us, Lord, when we call for help, Lord Jesus, that you are there. And when you started a good work in us, Lord God, you will continue to complete it, Lord. And we are so thankful for that, Lord God. Father, I ask that you be with me as I go through the word that you've given me, Lord God. Help me to preach it, Lord God, clear so that your people can hear, understand it, and put it to practice, Lord God. Father, we thank you and we praise you in your name, Jesus. Amen. I've titled my sermon, Where is Your Allegiance? I will be in Daniel chapter 3, verses 8 through 19, and then 24 through 26. Where is your allegiance? During the week, Milo was watching a nature show and it was talking about a fish called the barracudas. And the barracudas hunt by sight more than smell. The barracudas are attracted to shiny objects, like the silvery fish they prey on. These shiny silver objects often mimic the appearance of their prey, leading them to investigate or strike. Because they are attracted to these shiny objects, it makes it an easy target for fishing them, which can cause a decline in their population in certain areas. I was listening to this and I instantly thought, this reminds me of us, how we are so quickly attracted to things that are new, that are what everybody else has. The Jones may have it. That job looks really good, or that phone, I need that new iPhone, or I need this thing. We are so quickly drawn to the new shiny thing, the things that everyone else has, what everyone else is doing. And those things can become idols for us. We are going to read about three Jewish young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who made it clear where their allegiance laid. No amount of bling was going to take their allegiance from the one true God. They were not willing to conform to their environment or their world. Let's read. Daniel 3, chapter 8. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "May the king live forever. Your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold. And whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who paid no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up." Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king and King Nebuchadnezzar, and he said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold that I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I have made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. And then, what God will rescue you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, The God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. And then we're going to jump over to 24. Excuse me. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude changed towards them. And he ordered the furnace to be heated 7 times hotter than usual. And then we're going to go to verse 24. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there 3 men that were tied up and thrown into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, your majesty." He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like the son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. They came out of the fire. Let me say that again. They came out of the fire. They went in bound, tied up, but they came out unbound and out of the fire. My first point that we're going to talk about today is do not conform to this world. Do not conform to this world. Like the friends, they did not let the crowds of the people or their accusers, the astrologers, make them feel like they needed to bow down to worship the golden image. Imagine this. You're hearing the music. The music is playing, and you heard the decree. The decree from the king said, when you hear this music, you are to fall down and you are to worship the golden image. Now, in Babylon, they all worshiped many gods. So the king didn't care if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego worship their God. They also needed to worship his gods, and they also needed to bow down to his image. They needed to do all of it. But as they heard that music and they looked out, and everyone went down to bow, the three friends stayed up. They did not bow down. They did not worship the golden image. They were steadfast. They were steadfast in what they were doing. They were not going to conform. They were not going to conform to the environment, to the world. Think about how that must have looked. All these people are all bowing down, but yet they chose not to. Everyone else was doing it but them. They were left standing. This had to feel awkward. Maybe it felt awkward, or maybe it did not. Because they were used to being different from the crowd. Now, we do not have a 9-foot golden image that we are to worship. We don't have big, tall idols. But there are so many other things that takes the place of that golden image. And we're going to talk about those things. We're going to talk about some of those current things that can turn in to an idol. Anything that takes place of God in your life can become an idol. Let's just talk about a few. I want you to know this is not a list that is exhaustive. There are so many things that can take place in our lives that become an idol. But I'm just going to talk about a few things that I know have become, that have been a challenge for me and that I have to constantly pay attention to so that they do not become first in my life. Cell phones. Oh, do we know we love our cell phones? Those smartphones that can now do everything. We can call people, we can watch shows on it. We can do all kind of things with our cell phones. We can even have meetings on our cell phones and talk to people face to face on our cell phones. TV. Back in the day, way back in the day, saints didn't have TVs in their homes. It was considered sinful. But sometimes those TVs can take place in our lives instead of God because we've got to watch that show. I gotta watch the rest of this show. I'm in this middle of this series and I just gotta get through it. I know I haven't read the Bible today, but I'm gonna read it soon as I'm done with this series. Soon as this show is done, I'm gonna read the Bible. Did I pray? Oh, well, Jesus, thank you for today. Now I pray, let me get to my series. Let me get to that show. There's a movie coming out that I really wanna watch. Sports. Oh, let's talk about some sports. Sundays. When it's football season, sometimes our churches are a little light. Sometimes pastors have to make sure that their service is done by a certain time just to keep the members in their seats before football starts. And then let's talk about sometimes when our kids play sports. Oh, I can't go to church because my kids gotta go. They gotta go. I got a sports thing. And it's every Sunday for a month sometimes. It's not once or twice, it's every Sunday. Spouses, friends, children, even sometimes jewelry in our clothing. We spend so much time thinking about our clothing and our jewelry and all the things that we have. We forget about God. All of these things are not bad. But when you're choosing these things over building your relationship with God, these things can turn into an idol. But you look at the world and you're like, the world's doing it. Everyone has their cell phone. My friends are using their cell phone. My friends told me about this series that they're watching. It can't be that bad. But then that means that you're conforming to the world, you're conforming to your friends. And are we supposed to conform to the world? When we say, I just don't have enough time to read the Bible or to pray or to worship, there's just not enough time in the day. I got so much stuff to do. I'm such a busy mom. I just got so much to do. I've got homework. I got this. I've got that. I just can't go to church today. I need a day to sleep. I need a day off. Are you conforming to the world when you do those things? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't conform. They watched everyone fall down to the ground and worship that golden image. And then they stood before the king, and everyone knows the king has the power to put you to death. It was in a decree, it was law. When you hear the music, fall down and worship the golden image. But they stood firm to their faith. Can you stand firm to your faith? Or will you conform to the world? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not fall down and did not worship the golden image. They did not conform to the world. They did not back down. Point two. The three young Jewish men did not conform. But not only did they not conform, they didn't back down. I think about them standing in front of the king. They're young boys, they're not men, they're not grown. But they're also not from that area. They're foreigners, and they're standing before the king. And they were firm. They didn't back down. They stood in their faith. They were willing to only worship the one true living God. They did not back down with threats of death by the fire, being thrown into a blazing fire. I don't know, that sounds pretty intense. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine standing up to the king and saying, "No, I will not," while everybody else is saying, "They didn't do it. What are you gonna do, king? They didn't do it." They might have been in the background. Do it, do it. Throw them in the fire, throw them in the fire. We don't know. But they didn't back down. When I think about the challenge the three young Jewish men had to think about and the quick decision that they had to make, it had to have been instantly. It had to be quickly. How hard must that have been? But it seems like they made the decision quickly. It was not like the king gave them days or even hours to think about it. He said, "When you hear this music, bow down and worship. When you hear this music, bow down and worship." He didn't say, "Think about it and then come back and tell me if you're gonna do it." He said, "When you hear this music, bow down and worship." Their answer was firm and quick. "No, we will not bow down or worship your gods or the golden image." Quick and precise. "No, no, we will not." Now, in the United States, we do not have to worry so much about that kind of persecution. In other parts of the world, they may have to make those life or death decisions about their faith. People can be hostile towards us, but we have not had to choose life or death. No one's pointing guns at us and making us denounce our God. We are not being imprisoned for our faith. Christians are sometimes sued and taken to court, often involving disputes over employment, discrimination, or business practices that conflict with religious beliefs. You know, we hear about it. I hear about it all the time at my job. Half of my coworkers will not eat at Chick-fil-A. They can't stand Chick-fil-A because of their stance with homosexuality. A lot of them won't go to Hobby Lobby because of some of the same things. And I hear about if there's a caterer that has decided that they're not going to make a cake for a homosexual wedding. There are those things that we hear about, but it's nothing the same of being threatened with death. It can all be uncomfortable, but definitely nothing close to being threatened with death. And with death hanging over their heads, they stood firm. They stood firm. And they said, "No, I will not bow down. I will not worship your golden image. I will not worship your gods." They did not back down. But they said a lot more. Point three. They said a lot more. Let me read to you what they said. They spoke truth. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into this blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." That was such a bold statement coming from three servants that were foreigners. They told the king to his face, "No, we will not. We will not do this. Our God can deliver us, but even if he cannot, even if he chooses not to, not that he can't, but if he chooses not to, we know that he can. We know that he can, and he will. But if he doesn't, it's not because he can't, it's because he chose not to. But we will still not bow down and worship your golden image. I can only imagine the fury that the king had at three foreigners, servants that he chose to be over something, saying no to his face. He had to have been furious. They were exiles from Jerusalem. They were not even from Babylon. But yet they still stood firm and they told the king, no, the king who took them captive, that they would not bow down to his golden image, that they can be delivered from his hand. They had to know that the king would be infuriated, but yet they spoke truth to him, knowing that they could be very well thrown into the furnace. They knew that they could go into the furnace, but they chose to continue to stand firm and to speak truth. They trusted God that he could deliver them, but they also knew that it was God's choice and that no matter what God's choice was, they were going to trust him and choose him. That is powerful. That is powerful. They trusted him and they are choosing him. We face less, but we always have to choose God. We don't face being thrown into a furnace, but we still have to choose God. There are things that we go through that we have to stand firm, and we still have to choose God. There are days when my job says that they need me to work, but I have a firm stance that it has to be not during my time of church. So there are times that I do go to work on Sundays. I don't want to always work on Sundays, but there are some times that I have to go, but they know that church comes first and that I don't come until after service. There are times when I may be a little frustrated and life may be a little bit hard, but I don't go grab a drink, which what my coworkers love to say, "Woo, this was a rough day. I need me a beer. Oh, this was a rough day. I'm gonna go have myself a glass of wine. My rough day, I'm gonna go to worship. I'm gonna go pray. I'm going to go and dive into God's word. That is what I need to do. That's what I need to do. But I have to choose God. I have to choose God." That is powerful that we choose God. We have to choose God, even when it's hard, even when life is difficult, even when life is not what we want, we have to choose God. God wants us to choose Him. God wants us to choose Him. Have you thought about the choices that you make during the day, during the week? I know that I've been getting into the practice of trying to ask God, "God, use me, God. Let me choose you, Lord God. In everything that I do, let me choose you," which means sometimes speaking truth, speaking things that may be a little hard. We can learn a lot from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They did not conform. They did not back down. And they spoke truth. Our big idea. God is still God and deserves our unwavering of allegiance. We need to choose God. Do away with your little g gods, those idols, those things that we don't need. Do away with those. Choose God now. All through Israel's history, they had idols and they angered God. And we look at that and we think, "I would never do that. I would not be like those Israelites. I wouldn't constantly choose someone over God. I would never do that." But we do. When we choose our phones, our friends, our spouses, our jobs, And the list can go on. Are you ready to put those things aside and make sure you have time for God? Those things aren't bad, but if they can keep you from spending time in God's word, going to church, or doing God's will, they have become your idol. Where or who has your allegiance? Will you stand firm? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. We thank you, Lord God, for who you are, Lord God. We thank you, Jesus, that we can constantly choose you, Lord God. Help us to choose you. Help us to align with you, Lord God. Help us to stand firm, Lord God. Help us to speak truth, Lord God, and to not conform to this world, Lord God. We thank you and we praise you in your name, Jesus. Amen.